But my title is Freedom Always Costs Something. Freedom Always Costs Something. Last week we talked about Exodus. We talked about God coming in and saying, let my people go. And bringing the people out of Egypt with great power, with great great suffering on the part of the Egyptians. And how God did miraculous things, set his people free from what they were in bondage to. God recognized that they needed him, even though they didn't really know who he was. Because, you know, Moses said, well, who do I say you are? They didn't even know what God's name was. And this was when God began to give them a name. They began to know God. To that point, they just, you know, there is a God, and God made a covenant with our father Abraham, and he, you know, he's got a promise, and it wasn't until after God brought them out with mighty power that he began to instruct them in who he was. They went to the mountain of God. Moses went up on the mountain, and God laid out the law and began to teach them who he was. This is the beginning of this isn't the beginning. This is the first layer of revelation of that God brought forward about who he is, from what he expects from his people. And why did he do it? Because he wanted to set the people free. He wanted to set the people free. He wanted them to be free. He said, I am going to take you out of your bondage, out of slavery, out of being oppressed, and I'm going to take you into freedom, into a land flowing with milk and honey. Not just free, but a land flowing with milk and honey, which is a way of saying, listen, this is the best land. This is God, you know, you're not just eating leeks and onions. You're going to have milk and honey. You're not going to just have roots and grub and all this, but it's a land fatted. And when they finally got there and they went into the land, they came out with a bundle of grapes that was so large they had to carry it between two men. That these things were, it was, and they said, this land is awesome. This land is so great. It's full of so much goodness, but we can't go in there. It's too much. We can't do it. After having seen all that God had done, God wanted to set them free, but take them someplace good. God wants to set us free, but he also wants to take us someplace good. Freedom always costs something. The Israelites were set free from Egypt with a great price. They didn't pay it. They didn't pay it. They didn't put in the effort. They didn't fight for it. It was given to them. There was no effort involved in it. They just had to sit back and let God do his work. But God paid it. God brought judgment. God brought pain. God brought suffering to set his people free. And if we look at Jesus, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and you look at his character and who he is, this was not something that God would have wished to do. He didn't want to bring pain and suffering. How do I know that? Because Jesus says that I have come that you might have life and life abundantly. He wants to bring life. He wants to bring peace. He wants to bring joy. He wants people to be restored, but he didn't have an option here because he needed to set his people free. So he brought great suffering. I wonder if it was hard for God to kill all the firstborn of an entire nation. To consign them to ultimate judgment. I can't imagine it would have been easy. Knowing when you see God's character in Christ, it wouldn't have been his nature to bring death and destruction. Because he's the one that brought life. Sin's the one that brought death and destruction. It's the devil that brought death and destruction, not God. And so it cost God to set the people free. And it cost... Jesus came to be a representation of God. Why did Jesus need to come to be a representation of God? Because most of the time we see God as the God of Exodus. the God of judgment, the God of pain and suffering. He's going to get you. And because God had to do that to set his people free, now people see him as this kind of God. Oh, he's the God of judgment. He's the God of the Israelites who killed all those people. He's a vicious and mean God. That's not God. God so loved that he gave his only son. He wanted to set people free. He wanted to set his people free. But the Israelites wouldn't listen, or the Egyptians wouldn't listen. So he brought this pain and suffering. We are, in a lot of ways, we are enslaved just like the Israelites, the people in this world are, at least. John 8, 34 through 36, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Therefore, the Son makes you free, you are free indeed." If we've sinned, then we're a slave to sin. I have yet to meet a person who hasn't sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every man who's ever existed except for Jesus has fallen short of the glory of God. So we've all been enslaved, and so the God had to show forth his mighty power to set us free. But somebody had to pay the price. Somebody had to pay the price. And that was Jesus. Jesus paid the price. Because we are enslaved. A slave can't set himself free. He must be purchased with a price. And that's why Jesus says here, if the Son sets him free, he's free indeed. The Son is the one that has the power and the ability to set one free. Because he owns all. And if he sets it free, it's free. If God sets you free, then you're free. You know, we struggle with these things in life a lot of times over and over again, and we don't realize that we're free already. Now, we are free. We are free from sin. We're free from sickness. We're free from disease. We're free from being oppressed. You know, you can't be oppressed if you don't let somebody oppress you. You know, you could be in a jail cell, you could be under lock and key, but you could still be free. Because oppression is a mindset. How are we controlled? By fear. This world controls by fear. By coercion. And if we're not afraid of the consequences, then they can't control us. That's something that they're terribly afraid of. If we're not afraid of the consequences, there's nothing they can do. There's nothing more dangerous than somebody who has nothing to lose. I've heard people talk about, you know, you never leave somebody no chance, no opportunity. Actually, this was a police officer saying, you know, you always want to leave a person an opportunity because if you corner them, they've got no option. You know, depending on the situation, of course. Police want to control a situation. But religious zealots are the worst. Because they can't be controlled by the world systems once they've bought into the ideology. Now, it's like, I'm not talking necessarily good or bad. I'm just talking about the mindset. Because there is good and there is bad for the religious zealot, as we've seen. But if we buy into the truth that Jesus has set us free, that Jesus has set us free, who is the Son of God, and all power and authority has been given to him, and there's nothing that he does not have authority over, that he has beaten death, hell, and the grave. That he has overpowered Satan, the god of this world, and he has despoiled the enemy. If he says we're free, then who's to argue with him? Who is to stand up and say, no, you're wrong, they're not free? Who? Who has the authority to do that? No one. And if Jesus says you're free, then you're free. What can enslave you? What can hold you back? What can keep you from being free? Nothing. Except for your own decisions. I was thinking about this morning. I heard a story about a World War II prisoner. And it was several years after World War II had ended. He was in a Japanese camp somewhere. And he was an officer, and he was still in prison. He's still in the camp. Because he didn't know that the war was over and that they had won. He was the victor, and he was still being enslaved by the defeated foe because he didn't know of his freedom. And the enemy still lying to him, still keeping him in prison. Oh, you're not free. You're not free. You can't be set free. But we are free. And all he had to do was to stand in that freedom and say, no, I'm free. I am free. You've been defeated. And I have the backing of the entire United States. And they will come and get me. We have the backing of all of heaven. If we choose to stand and say, I am free and I no longer am willing to submit to this thing in my life, I'm no longer willing to let sin control me and dominate my life, I'm no longer willing to let lies and delusions have dominion in me, then all of heaven's resources is available for us to be free. Hebrews 3:19 says, so we see that they could not enter because of their unbelief. Going again back to the children of Israel, they didn't enter in to the promised land because of their unbelief. Now, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we've received that in our hearts, and we've accepted that he's our Lord and Savior, then we're free. We are set free. But just because we're set free doesn't mean that we've entered into a promised land. It means that we're set free. We've been taken out, and God wants to take us in to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. These things in the Old Testament are types and shadows. They're talking about, they're showing us spiritual truths. Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has set us free and taken us out of Egypt. He has paid the price. It says that there is a correlation between Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection with going through the Red Sea. And it's in Hebrews somewhere. And where they say that they were all baptized into one baptism, which is the Red Sea. And it says, we are baptized into one baptism, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That we have all gone through, and we are now on the other side. Our enemy is defeated. He is destroyed in our lives. We are now new, and there is no more fear of them coming and taking us. But now we're on this path of going from slavery to the promised land. And they didn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief, because they didn't think it was possible. They didn't think it was possible. If we don't believe that it's possible that God can heal us, then we will not enter in because of our unbelief. If we don't believe that it's possible that God can deliver us from our financial situation, then we can't enter in because of our unbelief. If we don't believe that God, it's possible for God to restore our family, then we won't enter into the promised land because of our unbelief. If we don't believe it's possible that God can reach this community, then we won't enter in because of our unbelief. If we don't believe that God can touch people's lives in a miraculous way, then we won't enter in because of our unbelief. When they came to the edge of the promised land and they began to peek across the other side and say, oh, that's so good. Look what's there. But look what we got to overcome. Look at the giants. Look at the masses of people. Look at the cities that are impregnable with these mighty walls that nobody's ever defeated. How in the world are we going to set people free? How are we going to enter into this promised land? How are we going to inhabit it? Because it looks like it's impossible. I don't know. How are you going to do it? We believe that God has power. We've seen him work in mighty ways in our lives. He has set us free. He has changed us. He's changed our hearts and our lives because we believe that he is good. We've seen what he's done, and he can do greater. And they went into the promised land. They came back, and two out of them said, yes, absolutely, let's go in and take it. We can take it on. But eight of them said, no, there's no way we can do it. There's no way. You know, in our own lives, we have that. We've got the 10 and the 2. We've got the Word and the Spirit who agree, speaking life to us. And then we have everything else shouting at us, not possible, not possible. You can't do it. Who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to listen to? What are we going to believe is possible? Are we going to believe the God who has brought us this far, that he can take us the rest of the way? Or are we going to just say, nope, nope, don't want to do it. Can't do it. It's too much. There's times when I feel like that. There's times when I feel like it's too much. I don't know if I can keep doing this. I'll be honest. Sometimes I'm like, I'm tired of ministering. I'm tired of dealing with people. I'm tired of having to tell people the same thing over and over again. I'm tired of dealing with the same kind of situation and circumstance. I'm tired of dealing with looking at the same thing and not seeing anything change. But then who am I going to believe? Am I going to believe my feelings, my emotions? Am I going to believe what the world is saying? Or am I going to say, no, God is bigger than this. I don't care if I've got 10 people left in this church. God said 120. 120. And I plan on seeing it. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what needs to happen. All I know is God has the answer. He's the one that said it. And therefore, I'm going to believe him that it's possible, that it will happen to see 120 new people join this church. And when God says things have changed, then things have changed. If God said things have changed, then things have changed. If you don't see it, start speaking to it. You've changed. If there's something that you've had in your life that has kept enslaving you over and over again, some idea, some thought, some sin, some delusion, whatever it happens to be, begin to speak to it and say, you are changed in Jesus' name. God said, you have changed. It is changed. I overcome in Christ. Begin to speak to it. If you don't know what to say, ask God. Let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you to victory. There's times I don't know what to say. You know? And so, sometimes I forget to ask. What do I need to do? And then, praise God, His Holy Spirit is so good to me. And he brings truth, he brings revelations. And I remember, God, what do I need to say? What do I need to do here? What do I need to do? What do I need to say? And then he gives me something to say, something to do, and then I do it. He reminds me of something I had heard in a sermon or something I had read in the Word, and then I take that and I apply it to that situation. I remember hearing of a minister who was believing for something, and he said, I didn't know what else to do, but the Word says, having done all to stand, then stand. He said, I took my Bible, I put it on the ground, and I stood on it, and I said, I'm standing on the Word. I'm standing on the Word. It seems silly, but it was something that encouraged him and empowered the situation he was in to recognize, I am standing, I'm doing everything I possibly can. I'm even being silly and standing on a Bible. Are we willing to say that I am free to the point where we're saying, you know what, I am free? You know what? I am healed in Jesus Christ. By His stripes I am healed, and I see. Even as I am seen, I see. That though there might be blindness in my body, Jesus healed blind eyes. He opened them. And so I believe it. I don't see it. It's not manifested, but I choose to believe that Jesus is the healer. It's not up to whether I see it, but I believe it. And I know it's to be true. And then I just, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? So if you're dealing with something, we stand on the fact that Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. 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 I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you don't know where you're going, Jesus is the answer. If you don't know what you're doing, Jesus is the answer. If you feel dead and you feel like you're dying, Jesus is the answer. And if you need life, Jesus is the answer. And then you say, Jesus, I believe that you are my life. As long as I live, you are my life. By your stripes, I am healed. Tell me what I need to do. And then you do that. If he says, go to the doctor, you go to the doctor. Take your medication, take your medication. He says, stand and believe, then you stand and believe. Is that not what this is all about? Do we believe God or not? Is he king or is he not? Are we in charge or is it he? Did we set ourselves free or did he set us free? Is he our Savior or are we our Savior? He's the Savior. He's the Savior. Sometimes we get a little silly. And we get a little foolish and we think, oh, look at me, I'm so great. Pride comes before a fall. Pride comes before a fall. And then the fall comes and we go, oh yeah, right. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're my Savior. You're my deliverer. You're my King. I believe you. I trust you. What do you want me to do? And then we walk that out. We walk that out. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Jesus has set us free, and we've begun this process through Christ Jesus, to walk out our freedom and walk into the promised land. And we're supposed to stand fast in his freedom. Jesus, you've set me free. Thank you, Jesus, that you've set me free. Thank you, Jesus, that you've set me free. Thank you, Lord, that you've saved me and delivered me. And we stand fast in that. And let it continue to have place and power in our lives. And choose not to go back to where we came from. And let the devil ensnare us again. Because we stand in the liberty with which God has set us free. You've been purchased with a price. You've been purchased with a precious price, a great price. God has done miraculous and mighty things, just like he did for the Egyptian, for the Israelites when they were in Egypt. Miraculous, mighty things have been done to set you free. Some of them you know about, some of them you don't. You realize there's things that God did that you don't have no idea what he did to set you free. And how he maneuvered you and set you on the right path and kept you and delivered you and saved you. I look back at my life sometimes and I think about how many times I could have easily been killed by one of the foolish things I was doing. And how it would have just taken one wrong thing to have killed me. God loves us so much. James 5:7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, seeing how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Be patient for it until it receives the early and latter rain. We need to be patient in the things of God. It isn't a sprint. It's not McDonald's. It's not, you know, I want this, so I'm going to get it right now. It's not fantasy. It's reality. And in reality, we plant. And then you wait till the harvest. You plant and you wait till the harvest. We need to be planting in faith and believing for the freedom that God has promised us. And not giving up and not saying, oh, well, my harvest didn't come in today. I better pull up all these sprouts. It didn't happen fast enough. I'm going to go plant over in this other field now because this field just wasn't fertile enough. Okay, well, this field wasn't fertile enough. It wasn't fast enough, so I'm going to rip it out and I'm going to go plant it someplace else. You plant it and you wait, knowing that the seed that was sown is good seed. It's great seed and it will produce. You just need to take care of it and you need to tend it and see it come to fruition, because that which God has promised will come to pass, because God is faithful. He keeps his word. He keeps his word. When he says that by his stripes we are healed, he keeps his word. When he says, if you believe in me, I will set you free, he keeps his word. You're set free. We are set free. And we're set free so we can show other people how to be set free. God wants to set everyone free from the devil. The devil stole us from God, stole humanity from God, and God wants to restore it to himself. But he needs people to go. He needs people to speak. He needs people to believe. People to act on his behalf so that he can bring freedom to others. So we've been set free so we can set others free. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you set us free. I thank you, Lord, that there is freedom in your presence. There is freedom in your name. There is freedom by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you've set us free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we thank you for that freedom. We declare that freedom. And we say that this place is a place of freedom. Lord, we choose to enter into freedom. We choose to enter into the promised land. That we know that there are giants there, that you can overcome the giants. That there are mighty walls that are there, you can bring the walls down. Lord, that it may seem impossible, but you can overcome impossibilities with your possibilities. Lead us and guide us that we can go into the promised land and bring glory and honor to your name and see others set free. We love you and we acknowledge you in Jesus' name. Amen.